and she replaced the word, what are we going to do about Maria? She said, what are we going to do about Lenita? It was amazing. It was very surreal. And, you know, I fought it, and they didn't kick me off. But in, I think it was 2004, I quit. I took a break. And then it was Eugene Rashad back in 2014 that invited me, and the whole new environment there. But for years, I fought with the program director. And I would talk about it on the air, too.
There's another shout-out. Eugene Rashad, here's a shout-out. Mm-hmm. Pablo, absolutely. Pablo Ennis, Pablo I, shout-out.
Right, right. Yeah. I know, all right. When they kicked me off my last show, the African-American programmers gave me a lovely party. That was very nice. Congratulations, Reggae Bob. Juneteenth.
Thank you, Anita. Juneteenth Radio. Sonia, take us out with Pharrell Monk. We'll be back next week for more Juneteenth Radio. We need to do, keep doing your thing.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
This is KBOO Portland. It's time for the news you're not supposed to know. Press Watch with your host, Teresa Mitchell. Stay tuned.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. And today, I'm going to be joined by Jamie Partridge, shortly revered longtime Portland labor and justice activist. And you're going to want to stay tuned for that, because we're going to be talking about the fascist sabotage of our postal service. And it's something that I think we need to understand in great detail, because the Republicans are pushing back, trying to cloud the issue right now so they can get away with it. But I have some announcements to make first. If you missed the deadline to apply for the KBOO board, don't worry, we are resetting it. And we're resetting the annual meeting again, because pandemic. And after next week's board meeting, we'll have new dates. So you can hear about that on KBOO, and of course we'll put that out on social media as well. More to come on that topic. By the way, after the controversy with the DNC throwing Linda Sarsour under the bus, I just want to say that KBOO supports Black Lives Matter and the BDS movement. KBOO is very clear about that. We believe in justice. So he used Linda Sarsour for a DNC promo, and then she's thrown under the bus, and they say they'll have nothing to do with her. The ICE dungeon here in Portland, at the corner of Southwest Bancroft and McAdam by the I-5 freeway, was subject to a protest with several hundred people last night, and it was quite a scene. So you may or may not have encountered the media coverage of that. And in related news, the pressure to arrest alleged shooter Skylar Bang Bang Jernigan came in large part from KBOO reporting. He is now arrested and charged with two counts of unlawful use of a weapon, menacing, reckless endangerment, and discharging a firearm in the city. And he discharged his firearm in the general direction of protesters. KBOO published that information, was there, was on the scene, got the details, published the KBOO reporters published the pictures of the gun casings. And, you know, the cops weren't around to collect those gun casings for quite a bit. So my question is, have you funded KBOO yet? In other news, if you're needing money, if you're waiting for relief checks, have some good news. Some of you may be able to get some money from the state of Oregon. So here's the indices. You have to be able to prove your ID and that you're an Oregonian. You have to attest that you're experiencing severe financial hardship, yada, yada. It's just a matter of filling out the form. You have to be earning less than $4,000 a month. And you have to be behind on your unemployment payment. So if all of that is true for you, and it's true for a number of you, then go to emergencycheck.oregon.gov. Click on that and see if you can get yourself $500. Because why not, right? Let me give you that URL again. It's emergencychecks.oregon.gov. 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 Get that money. Parsons. One final announcement. Parsons paramilitary mercenaries. Parsons is a surveillance and black ops corporation, a smaller version of what used to be called Academy or Blackwater. They are now surveilling me. And I tell you this because I've always dealt with this sort of armed intimidation by outing it on the radio. In 1987, it was the World Anti-Communist League, headed by General Singlob, sent me and my friends letters as the world, let's see, they called it the Christian Anti-Communist League, which was the in-the-country version of a worldwide death squad. This is something that was funded by the CIA back in the day. May still be around. I don't know. They seem to have lost track of me. But in 92, it was local Nazis here in Portland sending me nasty letters with guns and people with their guts ripped out on it. And now it's Homeland Security literally knocking at my door and Parsons, you know, mercenary, whatever they are. I would like to state clearly at this time that I am not suicidal. I am not planning any sudden trips, and I have no health condition that would result in my sudden death, aside from perhaps a certain attitude of defiance. And finally, news item in California, the worst air quality in the world right now. In certain areas, as hundreds of fires are burning, 15,000 Vacaville residents are evacuating their homes. The LNU Lightning Complex fires are moving towards Vacaville. Residents were forced to leave in the early hours of Wednesday morning, and as of this morning, police say there is no estimated time frame for lifting the evacuation orders. Currently burning, that fire is burning 124,000 acres across Solano, Napa, and Sonoma counties, 0% contained, and this after California registered a world record 130 degrees Fahrenheit at Death Valley. Welcome to the climate change disaster. And now I'd like to welcome something more encouraging. Jamie Partridge, revered long-time Portland labor and justice activist, KBOO broadcaster, organizer at Communities and Postal Workers United, and a working-class hero, a stand-up guide. Jamie, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, Teresa.
Awesome. I'm so glad you could join me. You posted something on Facebook that really got my attention. It was Postal Service workers fighting back. And part of what they wrote was, it has been more than 3 weeks since we began refusing to willingly participate in the outrageous plan to delay the mail. And that is the most encouraging thing that I've read in a while. I'm really interested in your take and your attitude towards the whole situation with the USPS.
Well, what you describe is a particular situation where one of our rank and file postal organizers in the city of Milwaukee, had effectively organized every letter carrier in his station to ignore management's orders to delay the mail. And this is something that's impacting postal workers and of course postal customers across the country, that the Postmaster General has ordered that letter carriers must leave for the street, deliver the mail, whether or not they have all their mail sorted. They must leave at a particular time, and so mail gets delayed. And what these letter carriers did was organized themselves and bucked up their confidence and said, no, we're not going to leave for the street until we get all our mail sorted. And management let it happen because everybody was doing it. You know, that's what it takes. Full participation, solidarity to turn things around. But it's not enough. I mean, this is just one example of what's needed on the inside of the Postal Service. But on the outside, we who are allies, the customers, need to be organizing against these drastic moves that the new Postmaster General, who is a crony of Trump and a contributor to the Republican National Convention, and it's hell-bent on slowing the mail and degrading the service to set it up for privatization.
Yes, and so that brings up, there's at least a couple of perspectives to look at the current crisis. The first is, of course, Donald Trump attempting to stay in office by preventing people from voting. That's the most immediate. But this is also a culmination of a years-long, more than decade-long, attack on the USPS from Charles Koch, from billionaires, from millionaires who want to privatize the Postal Service, and who put a poison pill into the structure of the Postal Service so that they could claim it was losing money. Could you talk about that for a minute?
Sure. In 2006, the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act was passed in a lame duck session of Congress in the middle of the night to impose a mandate that the Postal Service pre-fund retiree health benefits 75 years in advance, so that 10% of the postal budget, over $5 billion a year, has to go to pre-fund retiree health benefits for people who not only don't work for the Postal Service yet, but aren't even born yet. No other agency or company has to do anything like that. And the Postal Service has since that time been losing money, quote unquote, going into debt with this manufactured crisis. And then, of course, when the pandemic hit, and all kinds of postal workers are out with COVID or in quarantine, and there's been a huge problem with staffing, and then loss of postal revenue due to businesses being closed. This is all a perfect storm for this new appointed Postmaster General to swoop in and say, "Oh, we've got to make all these changes because the Postal Service is losing money." And indeed, the Postal Service needs an infusion of $25 billion for COVID relief. But what the Postmaster General is imposing is much more drastic. He's ordered the removal of mail sorting, more mail processing machines. He's ordered the removal of the blue collection boxes. He's ordered the reduction in hours, of retail hours of post offices, and most importantly, has ordered that all the trucks run on time. That even though the Postal Service is understaffed and lots of people are working 10 and 12 hour days and 6 and 7 day weeks, the trucks must leave the mail processing plant at a certain time, whether or not the mail is sorted and ready to go. And the letter carriers must leave for the street on time, whether or not the mail is all sorted and ready to go. So mail is being delayed days, which is, of course, a setup for degrading the mail-in balloting in November.
Yeah, I want to dial down on that. I mean, over the next, 17, 18 minutes, I hope that we can make clear just what a disaster this is and what damage has already been done. By the way, you're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. This show is called Press Watch, and I'm talking with Jamie Partridge, labor and justice activist, KBOO broadcaster, retired from the post office, but far from retired when it comes to activism. The damage that is being done is extensive and multifaceted. It's once you get into the details, it's very clear how effective it will be unless it is completely and suddenly and energetically and expensively reversed. It will have the effect of degrading the ability to vote during the pandemic, because as you were saying, the pandemic has reduced the number of people available to work at the post office, and so that means that there's even more overtime. So now this sneaky saboteur, his boy DeJoy, is saying that there can't be any overtime. So the mail's stacking up. And when I was looking at some of the things that you had put out on social media, I noticed the phrase casing the mail, and that brought me back 40 years to when I actually worked briefly for the Postal Service. And I was, if I remember the term correctly, casing the mail was actually getting out in front of a set of boxes that had the routes in front of it. Is this correct? And you throw the mail into the right route box. And it's sorting the mail, and if you get really, really good at it, you can do it. You can do like one a second or something close to that. Well, these the sorting machines that have been torn out, that have been, if you look at the pictures all over the country at sectional forwarding centers, I think that's what they're called, and at major post offices, these automated postal machines that could sort mails, that could sort mail at the root, at the, excuse me, at the rate of thousands of pieces per hour.
35,000.
Okay, you can see how much, you know, that kind of automation is dependent on. These things have been brought out so rapidly. I mean, it's obvious from looking at them, they haven't been, as the Republicans are really trying to fog the issue, they haven't been, as they're trying to say, you know, been taken out because they're being worn out, or as a matter of adjusting the amount of equipment or something like that, or to save energy. No, you can see where they were cut out using clippers and grinders. You can see the torn and shredded power cables. The power cables that go into the things are as big around as your arm. They're really powerful. The things are 80 feet long, and they are absolutely essential. And they're out in the open air. They haven't collected any rust or dust. They've just now been thrown out there, and they are trashed. And this is direct fascist, I use the word advisedly, sabotage, an attempt to prevent democracy from taking place in the presidential election, and is just going to have a horrific effect on the economy. I wonder if you could go on about that. I mean, what they're going to do, I mean, what happens, this mail has got to stack up now. It's got to be stacking up.
Yes, it is. And we're getting reports from all over the country of mail being delayed. And here in Portland, out at the big mega plant, which was just opened up a year ago out by the airport, where there are 50 of these machines. Well, I think nine of them have been torn out, and they were in the process of tearing out six more. And this is happening everywhere. That 10 to 20% of these machines are being torn out, and of course the impact is that those machines are not available when there's a high volume of mail, so that, you know, so the mail gets delayed, basically.
I'm sorry. I was going to say it's analogous to hospitals. You don't use all the beds in the hospital, so hospitals with their profit models, ignoring the possibility of a pandemic, there's always a possibility of a pandemic, around the country have reduced the number of beds available. But you always need excess beds available because there's going to be pandemics. And you always need excess mail sorting capacity because there's always going to be Christmas and there's always going to be an election. There's always going to be something that is going to increase the volume of mail. Well, now that capacity has been eliminated. But go on, you're right. Saying.
Well, and there's been a tremendous uproar across the country, led by postal workers who want to get the mail, you know, to the public in a timely manner, and are just angry and frustrated that we're not able to get the mail to people. And in particular, it's not just the votes, and let me say that we have evidence that this city council vote that just happened included the delay of ballots, and we actually had letter carriers reporting that ballots were delivered the day after the election.
Wow.
But yeah, so and you know, even in an efficient you know, vote by mail state that's been doing it for decades, we're having problems. And look at, just think about what's going to happen in those states that are going to see a big surge in what they call absentee ballots. You know, the number of people that usually vote by mail in this country is only about 10 or 20%. It's going to jump up to 50% because of the pandemic in November, and it's not so much the Postal Service, although it is the Postal Service, that is going to have problems. It's also going to be these local election offices, the local you know, county election offices that have to figure out how to send out the absentee ballots and get them back. And everyone, you know, there's all these regulations about how you have to apply and how long it takes and all that kind of stuff. But most importantly, we want to talk about the impact that the Postal Service is having, and all these various directives that are delaying the mail. And it's not just the mail that's being delayed. It's medications, it's medical equipment, it's agricultural products, it's of course necessities that people are ordering online because they have to stay at home. We're particularly hearing from veterans that rely on the mail to get their medications. The Veterans Administration has, up to this point, 100% mailed out medications to vets. And because of the delay in mail, people are getting sick. People are not getting their medications on time. It's a life or death situation. And actually, the Veterans Administration has just recently started using alternative delivery methods to get medications to veterans, including, you know, using FedEx and UPS. And that's basically, you know, it's the formula for privatization. It's the formula that you degrade the public service, and then convince, you know, the people that the private sector can do it better.
And they're doing that in spades. And I would like to say, in a corollary, that the there is an analogous machine in ballot processing centers. And the ballots also have to be sorted with automated, vacuum-operated machinery. And I would say that a careful guard needs to be put on that. And that's not just extrapolation. I've been following True the Vote. I am on True the Vote's mailing list under a false name, so I keep track of them. It's something that was started by, I can't say the nickname that Bush had for him. Anyway, I'm having a brain glitch and can't remember his name, but a political operative started it many years ago. You can probably think of his name. But Karl Rove is who I'm trying to think of. And True the Vote intends to have reactionary people. They're intentionally going after ex-servicemen and deep red, deeply Trump voters. And they intend to have them volunteering in droves at election offices. So here in Multnomah County, for example, there on Belmont Street is a big facility. Well, not a big facility, but a Multnomah County facility. And it has that kind of equipment. And I would warn anyone volunteering to, well, if you know the person you're volunteering with, that's great. There's wonderful volunteers that help every year with the ballots. But there's also going to be ringers. They're working really, really hard to put in ringers. And if they will sabotage the mail, I'll bet they'll also sabotage the actual voting count. And I would add also that Puerto Rico has now experienced a new Republican trick of sabotaging the actual printing of the ballots. So when you start the election, you don't have enough ballots to go around just anything. To have apartheid rule by a minority of white, a minority coalition of angry white racists and major corporations. That's who intends to rule us, anti-democratically, and this is a big part of it. I want to quote Nancy Pelosi. By the way, you're listening to KBOO Portland. That's not what Pelosi said. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is called Press Watch. My name is Teresa Mitchell. I'm talking with activist Jamie Partridge, quoting Pelosi in a tweet yesterday. She wrote earlier today, quote, "I spoke with Postmaster General DeJoy regarding his alleged pause in operational changes. During our conversation, he admitted he has no intention of replacing the sorting machines, blue mailboxes, and other infrastructure that had been removed," end quote. So what is required now is a massive counter-mobilization, a massive repair efforts. And it takes specialists to put those, I think they're Pitney Bowes machines. I'll check with you, Jamie. I think Pitney Bowes still has that contract. Those automated readers have got to be put back in there. There's no way around it, because you can't throw mail fast enough to keep up with the increase in volume that will happen during the election. And quoting Yahoo News, the Postmaster General's initial announcement came after a widespread backlash over changes in the Postal Service operations billed as cost-cutting measures that delayed mail delivery in pockets of the country. Democrats have said that they worry that changes could delay the delivery of mail-in ballots in November. There's an understatement. Over 20 states have sued the USPS. 20 states have sued the USPS over the operational changes. And
including Oregon.
Including Oregon. Okay. And yeah. DeJoy is set to testify before the Senate tomorrow and before the House on Monday. And, you know, the Senate is Republican-controlled, and so they'll control that narrative. But it should be interesting to see him in front of the House on Monday. Meanwhile, in Michigan, mail sorting machines have been found dumped in a parking lot with the power cord severed, according to a report from Heather Walker of Wood TV. And you can find that on Twitter. So if you put Heather Walker into your Twitter search, you can find the video. And that's where you'll see the evidence that they've just now been ripped apart and shoved out into the parking lots, into the dumpsters, too. They say that she said that dumpsters been empty three times. I mean, these mail sorting machines aren't being set aside. They're being trashed, permanently destroyed.
Explain to your listeners why it is that that Nancy Pelosi has called the House back from summer recess into session to specifically deal with the Postal Service. It's not because Nancy Pelosi is a wonderful person. It's because the masses of people across this country got out in the streets on June 23rd in dozens of cities and bombarded Congress with 30,000 phone calls on July 23rd. There was a huge rally and wake up call at DeJoy's mansion in D.C. by this group called Shutdown D.C. The outcry by organized people and the unions has moved Nancy Pelosi and Congress to do this. In fact, here in Oregon, for example, Senator Merkley is touring the mail processing plant today. And of course, management's not going to let him talk to any workers alone to find out what's really happening. But, you know, just the fact that he's here doing that is because of outcry from the people. We did an action at the Rose City Park station on August 5th, and we're doing another series of actions on this Saturday, the 22nd at 11 a.m. six different post offices with the theme "Save the Post Office from Trump," "Protect the Vote," and "Dump DeJoy," "Fire the Man." And there are over 400 actions happening across the country at post offices on Saturday at 11. And the biggest action will be out at the Midway Post Office on 103rd and Stark. There'll be ones at Multnomah Station, Brooklyn Station, Creston Station, Midway, Hollywood, Holiday, Piedmont. All those stations will have 11 a.m. actions at them, post offices. And if you go to savethepostoffice.net, savethepostoffice.net, you can actually sign up to host an action at your post office between now and Saturday. So the basic message is, we want the House to pass a piece of legislation called Delivering for America, which reverses all of DeJoy's actions, you know, not just suspends, but reverses all of his actions, fire the guy, and fully fund the COVID relief, the $25 billion that's needed to for the Postal Service to move forward. The Trump administration has said that they will refuse to, that Trump will veto any rescue money for the Postal Service, and that the ballots won't be able to happen in November as a result. He's walked that back a little bit since, but you know, Trump always walks his stuff back. But that's the story, that's the state of play, and we want folks to participate on Saturday at 11, the big rally at 103rd and Stark. Check out SaveThePostOffice.net for an action near you.
All right, and that's going to wrap it up. And thank you very much, Jamie Partridge, for joining me. And I can't say enough about this. You need to know that this is a very, very serious sabotage. This is a serious move towards fascism. All right, you've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM in Cascadia, other frequencies as needed, and going out to you via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
And now it is time for Fight the Empire with your host, Per Fogring. Stay tuned.